This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition, December 18, 2014, of Invest Talk. We're here to exchange ideas and maybe allow me to share some of our experiences here as a professional portfolio manager. And, of course, we're here every weekday to answer your money questions. Since we're live weekdays, 4 to 5 Pacific time, we can also have a conversation. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. And, of course, I'll be taking our first call here in a couple minutes. It might as well be you if you want to call in. As we have been doing this week, we're thumbing through our hand-picked investing and financial book lists for those of you who may be looking for ideas for Christmas, maybe a gift for yourself even. And today's book is going to be about technical books. I'm going to suggest a technical analysis. That's reading charts. Technical analysis of the financial markets, a comprehensive guide to trading methods and applications. That's one. John Murphy has now updated his landmark bestseller, Technical Analysis of the Future Markets. Includes all financial markets. And Knight Rider says if you could read only one book on technical analysis, that should be it. That's John Murphy's book. And then we have the Japanese candle charting techniques, candlestick charting. It's the second edition. Candlesticks is a form of technical analysis. The Japanese candlesticks are called. I use them. That's what I look at every day. That's the ones I use. All these are very good books. Technical Analysis of Stock Trends, hardcover by Robert Edwards. That's the one that I first read many years ago. I think it's very good. It's like $100. The hardcover is, but it's like a book that you would be in class. But it's really good, very in-depth. Technical Analysis of Stock Trends. Okay? I think those are some of the books that you might want to take a look at. I think they'll be very, very good. You can go to investtalk.com, look at our book list. Of course, you can always get my book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. It does have a section on technical analysis. It's heavy on fundamental analysis because that's what you should do first. Technical analysis is what you do second. You want to buy good, solid companies all the time. All the time. Yeah. Can you do a fly-by-night, really risky penny stock? Of course you can, just as long as you're willing to lose all that money and be consistently losing all that money. And every once in a great while, you might get a winner. But, of course, you could lose fortune before you hit the winner. That's why I don't like doing it. So that's what we should be doing today. Let's pick up the phone and get a question and answer portion of the program going. 888-99-CHART. You can reach us 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Rory in Duluth, Minnesota. I listen on iTunes, and I love your show. I have a question having to do with projections, because your way of evaluating stocks depends on projection earnings. I'm wondering where those come from, how reliable they are, and that's my question. Thank you.
That's a very good question. Let me put it this way. If you read my book, you would see that section on there where I talk about experts. And it's one of the things I say in there, the first thing I say in there is experts are always wrong. Experts are always wrong. And experts are the ones who have given us those earnings projections. They're the ones who are analyzing the company, trying to figure out how much money they're going to earn next year. And I just told you they're always wrong, and I always base the value of companies on future earnings, those estimates. So isn't that all contradictory? Yes, it is. But you don't have any other choice. It's your best guesstimate. Your best, the experts are trying to do their best. I just want you to always understand they're never going to hit it right on the head. They never do. Sometimes they undershoot. Sometimes they overshoot. Sometimes things happen in the year that make the earnings all wrong. Recessions, wars, things happen. But you still have to have a basis of valuating the company. And since you're competing with all the other investors, the professional investors especially, and they are using future earnings, they value the stocks today at what they think the future earnings are going to be tomorrow. So if you have to do the same thing to at least understand what's going on in the market. So you have to use it. It's experts. It's IBIS. It's S&P. These people are trying to estimate what the earnings are going to be. They do that by talking to the companies, talking to the competitors, looking at their books. Yeah, they do it various ways. They really try to do a very they try to do a very good job about earnings. They're very, very, you know, very tight on what they're trying to analyze. But again, no one knows. No one really knows. Okay? But it's a very good question. Got to use them. Got to use projected earnings by the experts. Pay off your mortgage to invest, pay off your mortgage, or should you invest the money instead of paying off your mortgage? That's one of our talking points today. What do you think I'm going to say? You know, I had a conversation with a client, long-term client, very, very good client today, about this very thing. And I think we're going to explore it a little on today's show. That's going to be our main talking point, matter of fact. I also want to talk about the 10 stocks with long-term sustainable dividends that have room to raise those dividends. 10 stocks. I'm going to give you a list of 10 stocks. These are not recommendations. This was an article I was reading, and they pointed out these 10 stocks, and I'm going to share it with you. I'm not recommending these stocks. I will tell you which ones we own of the 10. But there is not a recommendation. You know why I'm saying that? I got SEC rules that I got to real. You know, I don't like giving lists of stocks out, like, because I can very easily violate rules that I don't want to violate. So these are 10 stocks that you can put on your watch list and do your homework on and research. The Swiss announced negative interest rates starting next year, which is, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now. Negative interest rates. How's that possible? You know, they're not the only ones that have negative interest rates. Do you know what that means? Okay, and is a reverse mortgage a good retirement strategy? A reverse mortgage. I've talked about it before. Well, first I'll give you the definition of one. But is it a good retirement strategy? And I'm going to tell you right off the bat that it's not. But there's some people that would disagree with me. So I want to give you kind of the pros and cons on that. And we tried to get this to yesterday, but I'm going to definitely get it today. The 5 questions that predict how rich you will be. 5 questions. Yes or no questions. Really simple questions. They kind of give you a hint of how rich you're going to be in the future. What it really does is I look at those questions, and they're simple questions. It really looks at what kind of person you are. It tells you what kind of person you are when it comes to your financial life. Just your financial life. And if you want to be rich, you're going to have to change how you look at your financial life. Won't that be fun? I kind of think so. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. The market shot up again today. 2 days in a row. I mean, we're talking about huge move up. Hasn't quite made up all of its down move. But, you know, the Dow was up 400 points today. 420 points. The NASDAQ up 48 and the S&P up 104. The NASDAQ was up 104 and the S&P up 48. I think that's what it is. I didn't write it down. Let's see. The NASDAQ was up 104. The NASDAQ was up 104 and the S&P was up 48. Interesting. Big up move today. But what is it telling us? This is 2 days. Remember, we had, before these last 2 days, we had like 7 out of the last 8 days, a pretty strong down move. Pretty strong down move. Now, did today's move make up for all those days? Almost. Not quite, but almost. Intraday it did, but not quite. You know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, this kind of remind me, remember the 10% correction we had in late September, early October? And then it made up all, and for this S&P, made all that correction up in 2 weeks, which I thought was pretty fast. Well, how about this little, 3 or 4%, maybe 4.5% correction, made it all up in almost in 2 days? So, it's kind of, that tells you the volatility has returned, everybody. Volatility. Matter of fact, I have a market commentary I put on the website. I'll be putting on the website tomorrow about volatility. And volatility, I don't want you to think volatility is negative. It's not necessarily bad. It's neither bad nor good. But it has returned with a vengeance. And it's returned to more of a normal situation, not abnormal situation. Interesting. Over the last month or so, we've had quite an abundance of calls and emails asking about various big oil stocks. I think oil, I'll say it right now, I think oil has pretty much finished its fall. Remember, I've been saying we got to wait till it's finished. I can't say for sure, but here we have had like 3 days of sideways movement. So I thought we'd touch on maybe a good time to be buying oil positions. That I have an info sheet went out to our Invest Talk Insiders this week. You can get one right now. When you join our Invest Talk Insiders, do that at investtalk.com. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk at 888-99-CHART. Meyer Vert is next, and then you. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mahivert in Santa Clara. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. This is regarding the stock Apple. Mm-hmm. Because of what I understand is that 60% of the revenues come from overseas. Because of the strong dollar, in the future, if the dollar goes down, how the revenues will impact? The value is priced in, the dollar factor.
If the dollar goes down in value compared to other currencies, that's going to help Apple sell more Apple phones. And so, therefore, it should be a positive impact on the Apple stock. But I'm not sure the impact is going to be great enough to make that much of a difference. I mean, Apple sells almost every phone they make now. I mean, they're very strong already in their sales. But a weaker dollar will actually help not hurt them. But, you know, they keep most of those earnings overseas. You know, they don't bring them back here to the United States because of double taxation. So,
okay.
Do you own Apple, Mahivert? Do you want to buy it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to buy it. So I already own stocks of 50 numbers of Apple.
Uh-huh.
I want to add more at this price. Mm-hmm. Do you think is it a good entry?
Well, let me put it this
way. I bought it at the price around 102, the price which I bought those stocks.
Yeah. Okay.
So I would like to add more. So.
Okay, I can tell you on Monday, you know, we own Apple, have owned Apple for a long, long time, and I wait for weakness to buy it for new clients to come on board, and I haven't bought it in a while because it's just been too strong. And I bought it, I think we bought it on Monday. Added it to our clients who did not already have it, new clients. So that tells you that I thought it was a good price back on Monday. Okay? So I think it's a good time.
Oh, it's last Monday you're talking, right?
This previous Monday, this week.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, my Herbert. We want to hear from your questions. 888-99-CHARGE, how you reach us. You can do it right now. Your money topic is always on the top of our list. You listen to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley.
Why are earnings so important? What does that mean, earnings per share? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk? Our Invest Talk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Steve has two new dates for our Southern California listeners for portfolio reviews. In San Diego, it's January 13th, and in Dana Point, it's on the 15th. But if you're not near either one of those Southern California locations, you can make arrangements to get the job done via Skype. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Harish in Santa Clara, listening to us on InvestTalk.com. How are you doing, Harish?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking it. I have a question about the, it's a small cap company called SILC.
Silicom.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I've been monitoring this for the last couple of months, and it seems to be gaining some momentum and strength. It hit its lows sometime back, and My question about this is, I'm interested in getting in. I would like to know, how does it look from a fundamental point of view for the, say, for the next couple of years as a long-term investment, and what is a good entry point from a technical point of view? Is it good now?
Okay. This is Silicom Limited, everybody. It's an Israeli country, so you have the political, you know, winds there, Harish, in the Middle East. Israel, a manufacturer of server networking adapter cards and network-based communications. It's a very small publicly traded company at 268 million market cap, so that's like a micro cap. And it's growing its sales. Up until the most recent quarter, it's growing its sales quite nicely, you know, between 14 and 50% a quarter. Last quarter, the sales went down 8%. I don't know why. Earnings are going to be $2 this year after being $2.45 per share last year, and then it's going to recover to $2.24 next year. And you can see in a chart that was anticipated, and back in August it bottomed, and then it retested that bottom in October, and since then it's been trying to make a recovery. And now it's at $37.41. And, you know, looking at the long term, it doesn't have any debt. Management owns a quarter of the company, 25% of the shares. There's not very much mutual fund participation. It pays a small dividend, which I'm not sure why, because, you know, usually small companies that are growing don't pay dividends. They reinvest that money in their own company. It's hard to know, you know, because when you talk about a microcap, you don't have a lot of, you know, solid backward-looking information, so you can project forward. It's very difficult. So going out 2 years, I can't really tell you. I can tell you that it's on the lower side of its five-year PE range, and it has a very good return on equity, good cash flow. So it looks like a decent little company. I wonder why last quarter sales fell 8%. That would be, what's going on there? I might want to ask that question, try to figure out, did they lose a big client? Remember, it's only a $268 million company. They only do $15, $16 million in sales a quarter. So it's not like they're, you know, small. They are small. So how many clients do they have? Do they just have three? There's some danger there if that's the case. I look into their sales. Why do sales fall? But it's a good little company. And this would be a price that you probably want to buy it at.
Okay.
Okay? Thanks. Right. Thanks for the call, Harvey.
Thank you.
Let's go to Paul in San Jose. How you doing, Paul?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, Steve, for taking my call.
Thank you.
So, you know, I have three or four accounts, and some of them cash accounts, some of them, you know, retirement accounts, IRA accounts.
Right.
And so I gave one of the accounts to a famous brokerage to, you know, handle it.
Right.
And other accounts, I managed it. Mm-hmm. And I found I got a consistent return of 35% on my account. And those guys hardly made $2,000 this year. So I was wondering whether it's worth going with these guys, or I should do it myself, or maybe for a company, maybe a better bet. Just can't believe that somebody like
Let me ask you a few questions. See, that's not unusual. I've heard this story many times, and it's happened to me too. Usually when you have a professional manager, they don't take huge risks. They take managed risks. And therefore, you know, maybe you bought five stocks and they have 30. And therefore, you may hit on your stocks and you'll outperform. You hit home runs where they're hitting singles and doubles, you know. They're not doing nearly as good on a per stock basis. And so the question for you is, how much risk did they take and how much risk did you take? And if you're comfortable with the risk you take, then it might be wise for you to manage your own company. Maybe you're better than them. It's as simple as that. But my experience tells me that most likely they are managing the risk, and therefore they probably have a lot of stocks. And therefore, they'll never crash, but they'll never also be spectacular. And that's not unusual. That's normal, by the way.
Well, the problem is that they may be risk-averse, but they're ridiculous. You cannot make $2,000 the entire year, even though you're risk-averse. I mean, even treasuries are better than that. So I'm kind of perplexed by this.
Well, that, of course, that depends.
I don't have time to... Pardon?
Of course, that depends on how big your portfolio. They make $2,000 on $100,000. Yeah, that's not very good. if they made $2,000.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, they had some $80,000 and they made $2,000 and $4,000, $6,000 last year.
Uh-huh.
And during the same time, I took about $150,000 and made $60,000 this year. So, you know, I didn't take a lot of risk, by the way.
No.
I just did, you know, buy and sell in a typical manner that is risk-averse in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm kind of wondering whether I should withdraw from them and get out of there. Because it looks like they have this bunch of mutual funds and they do nothing but cancel each other all the time.
Well, maybe that's not the right manager for you then. It sounds like it's not the right manager for you, Paul. There's other managers for you, you know.
Your company does better than that, right?
Generally speaking, but again, I will tell you, we didn't do 35% either. Trust me on this. Because, you know, we do the same thing. We're not risk adverse, but I will take more risk than that. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people do very, very well, but most time they'll have 80%. I got to go. I really got to go. This is the best time. 888-99-CHARGE. Just wanted to finish the conversation with Paul in San Jose about he was doing so much better than his money manager. And that's not unusual. And it really goes to, most of the time that I've seen, it goes to how much risk you take versus your money manager. And usually a money manager is more risk-averse and more diverse, more than an individual. And Paul was saying that he didn't take that much risk. Well, then maybe that money manager is not for you. I mean, that's possible. You know, you never know. You always want to find a money manager that you're comfortable with. That's really what you're looking for. You're comfortable with what they're doing and how they do it. Because you hopefully will be a long-term relationship. That's what you're really looking for. But good question. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time to give me a call. What do you want to talk about? Should you pay off your mortgage? Or should you invest the money and not pay off your mortgage? And you'll hear me, and you've heard me on this show for years and years saying, pay off your mortgage before you retire. And I'm going to continue to tell you that. You need to pay off your mortgage before you retire. And I say that even with the interest rates so low right now, mortgage interest rates, that I think you should still do that. Because the average person is, and I hate to say this, but the average person has a difficult time. Instead of paying off the mortgage, he won't put that money aside and invest it. He'll just, the average person will spend it. So I always say you need to pay off that mortgage before you retire because, you know, that's one asset, house, the property, that is very steady and very durable. Okay, so you want to pay off that mortgage because you're saving money in that asset. Problem is, it's not a very liquid asset at all. It's not liquid. And therefore, in retirement, you may have this big house with a lot of equity in it, but you have no cash. So there's issues. Now, when I talk to individual people, you know, my answer may be different depending on the person's circumstances. When mortgage rates are 3.5%, 4%, or below 4%, there's a lot of good, solid argument not to pay off your mortgage, but the average person needs to have his mortgage paid off before he retires. Most of us out there, but not everybody. Maybe you have other assets. Maybe you have a mini property, several properties. Maybe, you know, there's reasons not to, but the average person should pay off his mortgage. I want to stress that. You should pay extra every month. Get that mortgage out of there before you retire. Okay? That's what I think. Don't forget, our listener line is open for your questions whenever you're ready to ask one. 888-99-CHART. You can call about a stock, an investing strategy, maybe your life situation. Go ahead. 888-992-4278.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Brian calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to thank you all very much for your program here. I'm listening via podcast. And my question was concerning the stock Stryker, S-Y-K. It's a global growth company with its couple different segments in the medical field. I've been looking at this stock for a while, and I just feel like I keep chasing it higher and higher. It trades at a pretty high multiple, and that's a bit concerning since I'm more of a value investor. But I do like this stock. I just wanted to get your take on it. And if you feel it would be a decent investment now, or should I wait for a pullback that just never seems to happen for this stock. Thanks again. I appreciate all that y'all do for everybody. Can't wait to hear your answer.
Stryker Corporation. I'm kind of familiar with it, out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. Develops orthopedic implants, surgical instruments, imaging service, systems, an operating room, and emergency medical equipment. I have a brother-in-law who does sell this kind of equipment, who works for a competitor. So, and he was being wooed away from the competitor to Stryker. He didn't go, but he was. So I had occasion to look at it. And he's right. He, the caller, is right. This company is very consistently growing its money and is continuing to do so year after year after year. Therefore, and we're talking even in the recession years. 2007, it made $2.40 a share. 2008, $2.83. 2009, $2.95. 2010, $3.33. Up and up and up and up and up. Every year. Sales are increasing 5 to 10%, and even last quarter was up 11% sales. So I can see where he's having trouble finding an entry point because the stock has been doing very, very well, and it is a little bit overvalued because of its consistency. It deserves to be overvalued. So you did have a little bit of weakness. Those 7 or 8 days of the market fell, so did this one. Not a lot, only about 3 or 4%. And then it made it all up and more in the last 2 days. Pretty frustrating as a buyer. I would probably, at this point, this would be my suggestion. It's a very solid company, doing very well. Management owns 8%. Mutual funds are buying. Buy half your position tomorrow. You see, even if the market goes down, the stock goes down, up, sideways, buy half a position. Why? Because at least you're in it. If it goes, continues to go up, at least you have something. And then when it weakens 5%, 10%, give yourself a target. If it goes 5% or 10% off its high, then buy more. Because today it broke out. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if it gives back some of the last 2 days' gains, just like the market giving back some of those last 2 days' gains. But you buy some now. It's a breakout. It's a new 52-week high. What are you going to do? You missed it. Now, when you say it never goes down, well, last year the range was $54 for the low and $75 on the high. That's 2013. The year before is $49 on the low and $57 on the high. So it does have a range, but notice those ranges are not huge. So the last big range was in 2011, 43 and 65, and probably that was the summer of 2011 when the market corrected 19%. So either you wait for a market correction or you just go ahead and buy some. It's a good, solid company with good, solid numbers. We have two new dates for portfolio reviews in Southern California. I'll be in San Diego January 13th and at our home office in Dana Point on January 15th. Now, of course, I'm always in the home office. I'm just not talking to clients every day. And this is a good way to start the new year, everybody. You know you need to start looking at it. Well, we talked to, was it Paul earlier, not happy with his money manager? Well, maybe you're not either. So I'm going to take a look. You take a look at your schedule. Take a look at your accounts. See what you want to do. To save your hour with me, if you want, go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. And if you're out of range of these two locations, I also schedule meetings via the telephone, via Skype, there's many ways you can talk. Talk to two people in Minnesota this week.
Why not sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider? Steve has a new info sheet on investing in oil stocks. It's new this week for all InvestTalk Insiders, and you can sign up for free on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to John and Tracy. How you doing, John?
I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Long time listener. I have a question about oil.
Okay.
I see that there's some jump there last couple of days after this big drop.
Yep.
But what's your take on the macroeconomics and where this is heading in 3 to 6 month range?
I think oil is about done with its fall, but John, I don't see a lot of strength in 3 to 6 months in oil. In other words, there's still going to be a lot of pressure to not push it up. until Europe starts gaining strength or China stops ratcheting down their growth prospects, I don't see a lot of strength in oil. OPEC is saying they're going to continue pumping as much as they can or want to. No cut in production. So until we see some either reducing of supply or increasing demand, oil's not going to go anywhere. I mean, there's probably more pressure on the downside than the upside, but I have a feeling this could be close to its, you know, its level that it's going to stop falling. It's still a little too early to tell, John, really. I've suggested maybe the next couple of weeks to tell us a good story. If it goes, I mean, the last 2-3 days looks like it, and there's been lots of volume, down volume before that on oil stocks, lots of volume. And now there's volume, pretty decent volume on sideways movement for 2-3 days. So it looks like the buyers and sellers are equalizing here. And so I think you might, it's tough. I did add an oil position this week. Let's put it that way, John. Yeah, so.
Sure, but okay. Then what do you see 1+ years down the road? Is it a good entry point? I know it may go further down a bit from here, but keeping 1+ years roadmap in mind.
This is a buying opportunity, John. It's a really good buying opportunity for a lot of oil companies right now. They might still go down, but especially if you're talking about big oil, you know, I like big oil, you know, big companies. Yeah, this is a buying opportunity. Long term, this is a great opportunity, and I don't want anybody to miss it. If you need core positions of oil in your portfolio, don't load up. Don't have everything be oil. But if you need some position, this is the time that you're going to want to buy within the next few.
Excellent.
Okay?
Excellent. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Brandon in Mill Valley. How you doing, Brandon?
Hi, Steve. I'm not calling about an oil, but I wondered what you thought of CERS, Cirrus.
Cirrus Corporation develops blood safety systems to inactivate blood-borne pathogens and components extended for transfusions. Okay. So it's in the medical field, obviously. It's blood safety systems to inactivate blood-borne pathogens. So it's trying to purify blood. That's what they do. Okay. It is a very small company, Cerus, CERUS Corporation, $482 million, publicly traded. The problem you have with this, Brandon, is it's never made money per share, earnings. It's never made money. Sales are increasing, okay? Went from $8.6 million in the June quarter to $10.4 million. But a year ago, they were at $10.5 million. So, you know, only recently have they started to increase. And they don't have any debt. Management owns 6%. But as far as a good, solid company, it is not. Now, I had a couple of great days, right? It's been moving up. So I'm wondering, it looks like, this is why. They expect 2014 revenues between $36 and $38 million. No, that's not going to kick it either. Something's going on there to make it move up so much in the last 2 days, besides the market. I would not be a buyer of this, Brandon. It's very, very risky.
Well, I'm already in, Steve, so, point and a half low, so lower. So maybe what would I do to kind of...
Well, I'd wait. If tomorrow, right now it's in an upward trend, you want to follow it up with a very tight stop. In other words, don't give it back, you know, this movement that you have. So right now it's at $6.16. If it broke below $5.80, I'd be gone.
All right, Steve. Thank you. That's what I need to know.
Okay, thanks, Brandon. So you want to ride the horse as long as the horse is running fast, okay? And this one is running right now. But if you know that the horse is getting winded, and you know the horse can't last very long because it doesn't have that stamina. And this one doesn't look like it has a lot of stamina right now because it's not making any money. I don't like to buy stocks that don't make money. I never buy stocks that don't make money. I don't. So I say this horse does not have the stamina. It's going to lose money. Therefore, you just ride it as long as you can, keep a tight stop on it, and get out. Doesn't matter where you bought it. It only matters, locking in as much profit or reducing your losses as much as you can, but pay attention to the chart. Pay attention because it's piked up the last 2 days just like the market. And the market, it may keep going up, and this may keep going up with it. But make sure you pull the trigger because it just doesn't have the horses behind it. It doesn't have the earnings. It doesn't have the sales growth. It doesn't have it. So you want to get out. It's just a matter of where. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you know the Swiss announced negative interest rates, trying to weaken their Swiss franc? They're not in the euro. Who else did that? Well, many countries in the European, the EU did that. They're trying to force banks to do something with the money instead of parking it with the central bank. So the banks have money. They don't want to spend it. They want to loan it out. But the central banks want them to loan it out because they want them to get the economy going. But banks, you know, don't want to lend it out. You see how that tug of war? And of course, banks don't want to lend it out if there's not demand for the loans. They're not demand for loans because the economy is sick. It's kind of a cycle. So how do you kickstart that cycle? And one of the ways central banks try to do it is penalize them for, instead of paying them an interest rate for storing money with the central bank, they charge them interest for storing money at their central bank. That's what a negative rate is. Negative 0.25 is what the Swiss did. And Europe has had that for a while. Hasn't worked for them. See, it won't work all by itself. You know, it won't. You gotta have politicians to get on the same side. You gotta have a freer market. You gotta do other things. Just the central bank is not all powerful. You've heard us talking about our new 401k solution. If you'd like to talk about it or you want some information, go to investtalk.com and send a note to Justin. Just click on Contact Justin at our website, investtalk.com, and write in the 401k. Just write it in, and he'll send you some information. You can bring it to your boss so they can take a look at it to give you employees a better plan.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. If the whole year has gone by and you have not been able to claim a really good idea at work, here's one for you. It's the 401k solution. It will save your company money. You can get more and better choices for your 401k plan and score some points with your boss. To get a whole information packet via email, just go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Justin, and write 401k.
Okay, for all you dividend lovers out there, and by the way, I'm a dividend lover. I like dividends too. 10 stocks with large sustainable dividends and room to grow them, to raise those dividends. Now, this is an article. I'm not recommending these stocks. Please, I want to make it clear. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell anything. But there was an article and it listed these 10 stocks. And each one of these stocks pays over 3%. Lyondell's number one. It pays 3.9%. It's a chemical company. Every one of these companies have lots of cash flow, profits, and growing their money, growing those profits, and growing those sales. So Lyondell, which is a chemical company, Frontier Communications, they pay 6.3% dividend. Entergy Utilities Company, 3.8%. CenturyLink, telephone, 5.7%. Coach, 3.84%. Verizon, 4.83%. Denbury Resources, it's oil, 3.9%. Windstream Holdings, telephone, it pays 11.8% dividend. Seems a little high to me. GE, 3.7%. But the problem with GE is they have a large oil exposure now. They've become an oil company. And then there's People United, which is a bank, 4.53%. We own Verizon in some of our managed accounts. We own Lyondell in some of our managed accounts, so just know that that's the case. But you need to do research on these companies. Make sure the article is saying these companies had sustainable dividends and they can raise their dividends. They have enough prop. Remember our rule? We'd like to see a payout ratio of 60% or less. And what does that mean? 60% or less of their earnings paid out in a dividend. For instance, let's look at LYB, the first one on the list. Lyondell Basel, it's a Netherlands base. It pays 3.5% right now, according to my information. And they make $8.86. It's a $79 stock. So let's say it's an $80 stock paying 3.5%. Okay, well, how much money is 3.5% on an $80 stock? Okay, well, that's what? If it was four, that'd be $3.20. So it's $2 or about $3. Let's just call it $3. And if they're paying $3 in a dividend every year, and they're making $8.86, then they can eat. That's way below 60%. So 60% would be like almost $5. You see how you do that? Did you understand how I like a payout ratio of 60% or less? So they can still raise their dividend and be way under the payout ratio that we like still. You see how that works? You see, that's how you have to start looking at these things. Can they afford that dividend? Remember, the reason why you want 60% or less is you want them to retain money so they can grow their company. Can't pay out everything in a dividend, then they have nothing else to reinvest in their company, upgrade their system, buy a new factory, do something, you know. Let's answer one more question before we're done with this hour. 888-99-CHARGE, how you reach us anytime.
Hi, this is Jeff, and I am calling from South Florida. I'm a podcast listener, and my question is Boeing. They've had some problems with their Dreamliner, with the batteries. Is this a buying opportunity? And how do you think this stock is going to do in the future? Thank you.
Boeing, there's only two airline companies in the world. Okay, of course there are more. There's only two manufacturing companies that are worth discussing, and Boeing is one of them. You know, the other one is Airbus, you know, out of Europe. Manufacturers, commercial, military aircraft, missiles, they're a $90 billion company. And is it a buying opportunity? And the answer is yes. Boeing has fallen down. They were $122 from $136. Now today, 2 days later, 3 days later, $126. Is it a buying opportunity? Yes. Is it cheap? No. Boeing is not inexpensive. They're going to make $8.61 next year, up about 3%. So not a great, and it's $125 stock. So it's not cheap. It's about, you know, what, 20 PE? And its five-year range is 12 to 50. But it has very good return on equity. It's got great numbers, not too much debt. It's one of those blue-chip core holdings you want to buy when it does get cheap. And this is a good buying opportunity. This is a good price for it. Doesn't mean it won't go down, but it's already given back some of its gains. Before we close for the hour, be sure to sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider. You can access a whole list of helpful webinars on all kinds of investing topics. That's there, ready for you anytime. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be here for the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.